you to sing this song with me if you, because I know you're going to know.
Okay. I've been thinking a little bit about when the children of Israel went into, they were getting ready to take over Jericho. And, you know, they were met by Rahab. Like, the very first interaction they have is with a harlot, you know, and she's the one that has faith. She's like, and she tells them the good news that, hey, everybody here in this town is shaking in their boots because of your God. We know that your God is going to deliver this town, this city, into your hands. And then he goes on, the Lord tells Joshua, he says, see, I have given you this city. I've given it to you. And it's, the people were shut up in the town. Nobody was leaving. Imagine if your town was all of a sudden, everyone was in their house and nobody was leaving because they were afraid. But the issue was they realized who the great power was. The powerhouse was the God of Israel. And all the children of Israel really had to do was believe the Lord. And that is the pattern for us. The Lord wants us to believe him. The thing that pleases him is faith. And then what the children of Israel had to do, all they had to do was get their ram's horns. The priests got their ram's horns. And what did they do? They were praising the Lord. They were giving a victory shout. And God had already given it to them. And they were just going in and saying, hey, this is ours. And so the encouragement for us today is to praise the Lord. Let us arise. Let us praise him. Let us know that it doesn't matter what our enemies might look like. It doesn't matter really what's going on around us. Yes, we feel those things. We don't, like we heard in Sunday school, we don't necessarily delight in the things that are happening, but you know where the delight is? The delight is in faith, knowing, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Now, we wouldn't be sitting here in these pews today if we didn't love God. So if you love God, you have a promise for you that everything right now that feels scratchy and not right in your life, it's working for your good. So take that to the bank and begin to praise the Lord.
Thank you. right. I want to turn our attention now to the fifth chapter of Ephesians. Ephesians 5. And we will begin with verse 2. And walk in love, as Christ also has loved us, and hath given himself for an offering, and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. I want to continue these messages, which we began a while back, on the hand of God. This is simply a part of that, or would be a part of that. And I want to notice here, as we read here, Ephesians 5:2, walk in love. And again, we are talking about the practicality of the gospel, walking, and putting it into action. And it's so important that we do that. It is imperative that we do that in our own lives and experience. So Paul tells us here, walk in love. And then he defines actually what it means to walk in love using Jesus as an example. In other words, Christ is the very example of what it means for us to walk in love. He did it in his own life. He set that example before us. And now then Paul is telling us to do exactly the same thing. There are four different expressions of walking in love, as we see here. Number one, as Christ has loved us. Number two, he has given himself for an offering. Number three, given himself as a sacrifice to God. And number four, that is for a sweet smelling savor. I also want to bring this in, 2 Corinthians, if you go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians 4:7, because this brings out the same things, just enlarge a little bit more on what it means to walk in love, and indeed the only way that we can walk in love. And so in 2 Corinthians 4:7, we read this. We have this treasure. The treasure he's talking about is Christ. That is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that was implanted in us the day we received Christ as our Savior. So Paul says, we have this treasure, Christ, in earthen vessels. That means this mortal body that we are living in right now. And then I want to notice the reason that God put that treasure in this mortal body. Rest of that verse, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Nothing we can do on our own. God put this treasure in a weak earthen vessel that has no strength or anything of that nature. And God did that on purpose in order that he might be glorified. Indeed, as we find here, that the excellency of the power, and it is an excellent power that God has brought into our lives, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Nothing that we can accomplish in our own strength, in our own power, our own volition, anything of that nature. That the excellency of power may be of God and not of us. I also want to notice, you can go ahead and turn there, Lamentations 3 and verse 22, because Solomon gives us more insight into this God of all grace that has put, it is God who has put this treasure in this earthen vessel in which we live and walk today. Lamentations 3 and verse 22, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. God once again puts the responsibility directly on himself for all of these things. In verse 23, we read, they. And they is a reference to his mercies. And you will notice that they are plural. It was not just grace that you're saved by grace are you saved through faith, that out of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These mercies are plural. There are so many of them that God can and will bestow upon us. And so his mercies, you will notice they are new every morning. Multiplied mercies that are given to us, as Solomon says here, they are new every morning. And then he follows that up with, great is thy faithfulness. What does he mean? It is God's faithfulness to show his mercies. And that's exactly what we must understand and know in our own lives and experience to discover the very faithfulness of God. Leaving one place there in Revelation, he is called faithful and true. His very name is faithful. And so we find here that Solomon is calling on men to recognize the mercies of God, that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Those mercies, once again, are new every morning. Always renewed, always present, always effective, and always fresh, as we would say. If you'll turn now to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, because Peter also enlarges on true humility, which indeed we must have to receive such mercies that God is showing unto us. Cannot get that mercy that God is pouring out without true humility. So 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, go ahead and turn there in verse 5. Paul is speaking, or Peter rather, speaking, likewise you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. This is something I think that is not practiced by any great measure today in our world. The younger are really intent on doing their own thing. They want to do what they want to do. Doesn't make any difference oftentimes that they hurt their parents or indeed shame their parents in some ways. That has been done. Seems like some wanted to do it on purpose for some reason. But nevertheless, what I love about the scripture is it is always right. It always correct in giving the truth of the matter. And so, 1 Peter 5:5, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And then he adds this, you can underline that, yea, all of you, be subject one to another. God didn't want one to dominate another and to rule the roost, so to speak, and dictate to everyone else. There are those who try to do that. But nevertheless, this is not God's plan. And so all of you be subject one to another. And then he says this, be clothed with humility. And then he tells us the reason that we are to be clothed with humility. It is because God resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. This simply tells us if we want to have grace, we must have, at all cost, we must have true humility in our lives. And so this brings us to the next point that I want to emphasize here. It is easy to determine if one is truly humble or not. Are you receiving grace? Is a person actually receiving the grace of God? This is the proof of true humility. God giveth grace. And you will notice again, God gives grace. It's not something we can earn. It's not something we demand, not something we deserve. It is because God, in His infinite mercy, simply gives us that marvelous grace. And another place, He gives of His grace. We do not receive all the grace of God at one time. That takes an entire lifetime and even beyond to experience the wonders of divine grace. And so God gives grace. 1 Peter 5:6. Humble yourselves, therefore. We have, I believe it was Brother Astle that said, when you see a wherefore or a therefore in Scripture, find out what it's there for. And that really is the truth. There is a reason for that word, a very important, powerful word. And so, humble yourselves, therefore. This time, the therefore means because God gives grace to the humble. That's why you want to be humble, is so that you can receive, you can be in a condition and a position to receive the grace of God. And there is no way we can survive without that grace, as we have indeed already seen. So, humble yourselves, therefore, and you will notice, under the mighty hand of God. That means the powerful hand of God. Let God's hand rule in our lives. But then He goes further. The reason you want to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God is so that He may exalt you. But you will notice once again, this is also at God's discretion, in due time. It means in God's time. Now, we want to be exalted immediately. Most people do. They want to be on top of things and all of this. But this is a time we must learn by experience to wait until God wants, is ready to exalt us, to grant us His glory and His favor. So I want to notice, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Exaltation comes only to the humble. And we're talking about the one who is truly humbled and dependent entirely and subject unto God Himself. And so, that again will only be in God's time or in due time. And so everything goes back to His decisions for our lives. And this is a submission that we absolutely must make, because the flesh absolutely will rebel daily against God. This is why we must submit to the very life of Christ. And as we have seen in so many times, and the very purpose of Christ, the goal of Christ, I do always those things that please Him. The only way that you and I will ever do all things that please Him is to absolutely submit ourselves to that divine life that God has implanted within these hearts, within our mortal bodies. We can hardly imagine such grace. We don't know how God does that. Doesn't matter. We just know that He does, and we can indeed enjoy that and glorify God because of it. And so let us fully understand that exaltation will come only to the humble. It is to our great advantage to humble ourselves. And that's what He says to do. Humble yourselves. We are the ones that must make that decision to be in submission unto God and His Christ. And so it comes only to the humble. And then, of course, leave that also to God as to when he is going to exalt us. I would love to be exalted today, but I don't know that that's God's purpose. He hasn't told us that. I do believe that it is coming very, very quickly. Things in this world are shaping up for things that have been prophesied of the end time. When these things, Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up and rejoice. Why? Because your redemption draws nigh. We are seeing a great many things that were prophesied long, long ago, over 2,000 years ago. They are coming to pass in our day. We are such a privileged people, and we must be aware of that fact and just simply accept what God is bringing into our lives. All right, according to my notes, we are supposed to end with a song, so if we can have our musicians come up, we will sing and be dismissed.